of Saul and David. I mentioned to you David as a type of Christ. There's many ways. I'll mention four very briefly. I see, first of all, a divine proclamation is made about David, just like it was about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 1, and the Lord said, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. A divine proclamation is made about David. But in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 33, I don't have time, but there is a divine proclamation made about our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, that it is him. He has come, and he's come to save his people from their sin. Just like Jesus, not only a divine proclamation was made about David, but a divine providence was already in place concerning David. By the providential hand of God, he had raised up a young lady by the name of Mary and a young man by the name of Joseph, and he was going to send Jesus through a virgin womb, and he was going to allow two earthly people to take care of his darling son. And by divine providence, God orchestrated the birth of his son into this world. And just like David, God seemingly out of nowhere says to the world, I provided me a king among the sons of Jesse. We're not introduced to him other than in this chapter. And out of nowhere, and honey, the prophet said he's coming. The preacher said he's coming. And one day, here he come in a state in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. There he was, by divine appointment in the providential hand of God. And here stands David. I would say to you, number three, we see just like Jesus, there was a disdaining plight that surrounded David's life. I don't have time, but verse 6 through verse number 11, he comes in, and the Bible said it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And we realize that the Lord said time and time again all through those brothers, no, this is not him. No, he's not the one. No, this is not him. And you'll find, I believe it's right here, when Eliab had to back up and get out of the way, and he watched all those brothers walk through there, and none of them were chosen. He's scratching his head, and in comes David. And now David, the Samuel said, the man of God said, this is him. God said, that's him, anoint him. And he anointed, I believe right there, you'll flip over in the next chapter and you'll find there's resentment in his heart. There's hatred in his heart. There's jealousy in his heart. And I believe it was right here. And just like Jesus, he was not accepted by everybody. It's amazing to me that God sends his son and men still reject him, disdain him for who he is. But just like David, so is Jesus. I see a divine praise that accompanied David, just like Jesus. Look at verse 12 and 13 again. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and with all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. There was a divine praise that accompanied David, just like Jesus. In Matthew 3, the Bible said, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And just like Jesus was met with divine praise from a voice from above, so David was met with divine praise in this world. So David, as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon, Saul, a type of sinful man. I want to say a couple of things to you, and I'll get out of the way very quickly. Number one, I want you to see, first of all, in this old story of Saul and David, that the first thing I notice in chapter 16 is that, thank God, Saul heard of David. Saul heard of David. Look at verse 14. The spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and evil spirit of the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from the Lord troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass that the evil spirit from God is upon thee. He shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said to his unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Now watch this. It gets good right here. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, take notice, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite. He's cunning and playing. He's a mighty valiant man. He's a man of war, and he's prudent in matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. I submit to you, first of all, that Saul heard of David. And I want to go on record and say, glad day in my life when I heard of King David, when I was looking for someone to still the troubled waters in my heart and life, when I was looking for peace and satisfaction and somebody to rescue me. It's amazing. He was just looking for a man to play the harp. But the Bible said, whoever this was, whoever this servant said, behold, you need to take notice. Thank God somebody one day in my life said, hey, look up here. Take notice. I know of a son. He's not just any son. He's not just skilled on the strings, but he's a valiant man. He's a man of war. He's prudent in matters. He's a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Oh, honey, I'm telling you, it was a glad day when this old boy heard about King David. It changed my life. The first thing I see is that Saul, he heard of David. And the next thing I notice in verse number 19 is that this is obvious. I mean, this is so simple. I ought to be teaching a Sunday school class in a fellowship hall, but he not only heard of him, but after he heard of him, he wanted him. I said after he heard of him, he wanted him. Okay, there's four of you. I said after he heard of him, he wanted him. After he heard of him, how could you not help but to hear about somebody like David? And after they told you about David, who else in this world would you want to come to where you're at? Oh, and he said, I know a man. I know a son. He said, go get him. Verse number 19, wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son. There's an interesting statement right here. With the, who is with, the Bible said, send me thy son which is with the sheep. I wonder how Saul knew that David was with the sheep. We're not given any insight on how he knew that, but it's interesting to me that he knew that David was with the sheep. Now I know you can get saved wherever, but if you want to find out where Jesus is at, if you really want to get in his presence, I'll tell you a good place to go anytime. It's where his sheep are gathering. It's where his sheep are at. And Saul said, y'all send and fetch him. Go get him. And he's down there where the sheep are at. I'm telling you, Brother John Dorsey, every time I see you, my mind goes back to those nights that I'll cruise in the town and cruise in the horseshoe in Dalton. And you guys were standing over there preaching the Bible to me. But oh, glad day when it got more than just words in my ear, and it got to be words in my heart, and I wanted the man you're preaching about. And just before long, I stopped cruising and I started preaching on the same corner. Honey, I wanted him. Go get David. Saul heard of David. When somebody told him, he said, my God, Go get him. Go, if he's that capable, go get him. Can I just say to you this afternoon, he is that capable. This King David, he's that capable. And I'd suggest going and getting him. Going and getting him. Saul heard of David. Then he wanted David. But the third thing I notice in verse number 21 is that Saul loved David. Look with me, if you will. The Bible said, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. I submit to you that if you ever hear of David, the next reaction in your life ought to be that you would want David. And once you got him, I don't know anything else to tell you but this. It's almost an impossibility not to love him. I mean, friend, I'm telling you, he's been everything I've needed him to be, and he's been more than that. Oh, friend, he doesn't seem that David even gets in his presence. I mean, just walks in the door and takes his place, and immediately Saul's heart falls in love with him. Oh, I can still remember that first time when I really saw him for who he was, when I really saw him for who he was. My heart immediately was drawn to him in love and tender mercy. I'm telling you, friend, thank God, it's worth falling in love with David. Notice this. I found this interesting. The Bible said that he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. David was sent for a specific purpose, and all of a sudden he gets here and things begin to change. He was sent to play the harp and help this evil spirit when it came upon Saul to depart. But now all of a sudden the Bible says he has another responsibility. And he has become his armor bearer. And if you look that word up, it just literally means the one who's carrying the armor. And if you study it out, I know you have, and you understand that the armor bearer, he not only carries the armor, but it's not always just a shield, but it could include other weapons as well. You say, what do you mean? Well, that day I walked into the New Life Baptist Church, and they told me a King David. I said, I sure want him. Oh, I sure want him. And when he made himself real to me, Brother Tim, I said, I love him. Oh, I can love him. He's never going to do me wrong. He's never going to tell my secrets. He's never going to leave me nor forsake. I want him. I love him. I can see me loving him for the rest of my life. But I'm telling you, friend, when I called on him, Brother Fraser, I'll just be honest. I didn't want to go to hell. I needed somebody to play a song in my heart that had never been played. I need somebody to steal the storm. That's all I thought I was getting. Then all of a sudden, I found out on Monday, you know what he did? Honey, he picked up my armor and he started bearing it for me. He picked up some things that I'd been taking care of all my life. Oh, I'm telling you, for 22 years, he's been bearing burdens and carrying loads that he never meant for me to carry. And they tell me that not only is it the shield. You say, how big's the shield? I don't know, however big Jesus is. You say, well, I'm a pretty big fella. Notice I didn't say lady. I don't care how big your problem is.
Yeah.
That one thing I know that the armor bearer bears is the shield. And you mark it down, honey. Come hell or high water, there's somebody walking before you who is bearing a shield to quench the fiery darts of the wicked in your life. He's bearing a shield, but he ain't just bearing a shield. Not this armor bearer. No. Every battle that comes in your life, is always different. No battle is ever the same. And he's bearing that shield. He gets out there in front of me. He's bearing that shield in front of me. He says, now wait a minute. Yep, spotted this battle. Here's this sword. Okay. And we go on down the road. He gives me the right sword for the right battle. And then we get down the road. And I get down there and there's another enemy. And I say, hey, Lord, give me that sword you get. Nope, that sword ain't going to work here. Matter of fact, let me just give you this right here. And he hands me another weapon. And I just say, friend, every battle I've ever faced, he's not only held the shield out in front of me, but he's given me everything I've needed. The grace of God, the power of God, the mercy of God, the wisdom of God to fight every battle as my armor bearer. I didn't know I was getting an armor bearer. I didn't know it. I just thought I was going to get somebody to play a song in my heart and take away my sin. I'm telling you, he has been more. And I wish that I could stop right here. I wish the story stopped with Saul being in love with David. Man, there was a time, Brother Mark, that everything you and I see in David, Saul, he saw it. The way you and I feel about David is how Saul felt about David. He wanted him and he loved him. But it don't stop there. You see, I told you this old story of Saul and David, it's been around since the beginning. And it's still very alive today. Because the next thing I see in chapter 17, Saul, he seemingly forgets about David. You know the story. There's a giant out here and he's calling men out to fight. David shows up under his father's command, goes out to the battlefield, slays the giant with a sling and a stone, takes his own sword, cuts his head off, walks off the battlefield with a giant's head in his hand. And here's what the Bible said in verse 55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? Look at verse 56. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. Look at verse 58. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? I wish the story stopped with him being in love with David. Because I tell you what we'd do. We'd just lap the building for the next 30 minutes. We'd have them come sing a good song. And man, we'd shout this place down. And we'd run around. But I'm telling you, listen to me. It don't stop. It don't stop. Because the next thing you find in Saul's life, he forgets who he is. How do you forget David? Are you kidding me? Not one time that it's maybe a coincidence or it's maybe just an accident. Three times. I read one commentator who said, well, David's now on up into his youth. He's on up into his age. And so Saul, maybe David comes on the scene with a beard here and his countenance has changed. And so he doesn't recognize him. Look up here at me. If you think I believe that, you're crippled two-eye for crutches. Three times in all three instances, watch these words. In verse 55, the word youth is mentioned. In verse 56, the word stripling is mentioned. And in verse 58, the words young man is mentioned. Now, the Bible doesn't give us a timeline, and maybe somebody knows a better one than I do. I'm just trying to say, I don't know how far down the road this was, but I mean, are you seriously going to tell me that somebody like David walks into your life and you can blink your eyes and eat a meal and go to bed and get up the next day and you forgot who David is? Beard or no beard? What I'm trying to say is he seemingly forgets about David. I got some reasons I think why. I mean, we're all there. I believe you can get so consumed with the self life, you can forget all about who David is. I believe we get so consumed, we can get so consumed with serving. Here's where Saul's at. He's trying to figure out how to win the battle. He's trying to figure out how to lead an army. He's trying to figure out how to be the right kind of king. And he's forgot about David. The self-life, serving. But I'll tell you this, we get so unconsumed with the Son that that's really how we forget who David is. You see, the Bible said, watch verse 58. You know, the servant over here in chapter 16 said of David, he said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse." Now, when Saul inquires and asks who he is, in verse 58, he said, Saul said to him, he said to David now, said to him, "Whose son art thou, that young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." And I say this, we get so unconsumed with the Son that we forget all about who he really is. He becomes a spare tire. He becomes a scapegoat. Are you listening to me? Hey, can you remember the day when he was everything? They didn't even have to hit the right key on the piano. And you were sitting on the front of the bench ready to shout, ready to go to meeting. I mean, you wanted to come to church. Nobody had to drag you to church. Nobody had to say we're having an afternoon service. You didn't even want to dismiss the morning service. But now here we are. What's the problem? It really ain't the same. Life. It really ain't being consumed with serving. It's the fact that we're unconsumed with the Son. Saul, and I'm going to get to this here in a second, but right after this, the Bible said Saul would not let him go home no more to his father's house. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Stacy. He'd have been a wise man to have never let him went home in the first place. Are you listening? He'd have been a real wise man to have, when he beheld David and he experienced David, to have never left him behind to begin with. And that's where some of you are at this morning or this afternoon. You've experienced him. You've tasted of him. You've felt his touch. You've seen him move. But you've left him somewhere. You've walked away. You've sent him to somebody else's house. Oh, honey, I'm telling you, we need to be reconsumed with the Son. Jesse didn't think much of that son. His brothers didn't think much of that son. And if Saul would have been a wise man, he'd have kept that son the first time he encountered him. He forget, I got to move in a hurry. Listen quick. Saul seemingly forgets about David. In chapter 18, the next step I see is that Saul needed David. Now you're going to need David whether you forget him or not. But you hear me. It'd be a lot better to have never forgot him than need him, as to have forgotten all about him and need him to walk on the scene of your life in a real important situation. I said this the other day, but I want to say it again. I don't know what I'd have done. And I'm not lessening the fact, but I'm just telling you, I mean, I know it's not the worst cancer that somebody can have, and I understand there's people going through more, but you hear me. I don't know what I would have done when I got that phone call the other day. Had I not been near to David, had I not seen David, had I not been listening to David, had I not been experiencing David, had I not heard David's song, had I not heard David's words, I don't know what I'd have done when they told me my little girl had cancer. I needed David. I'll tell you where David was at. I walked back in that sanctuary. I walked outside, answered the phone. My wife was crying. And she said, the test come back. She said, it's positive. She's got cancer. I just stood there, froze. I didn't know what to say. What am I going to say? And I started to get in my truck and leave right then. It seemed like the Holy Ghost said, you just need to go right back in there on that pew you're sitting on. And you sit there until Brother Bailey gets through preaching. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Mark, you can believe me or not believe me, but when I walked in, I sat down in that pew by myself, and I sat down. I didn't no more put my eyes on that preacher. I'm telling you, there's a presence from another world that consumed that place. And I don't know if anybody else got anything out of Matthew chapter number 6 that day when Brother Bailey was preaching. But I'm telling you, heaven sat down in my soul, and God let me know everything's going to be all right. I've not failed you this far. I'm not going to let you down now. I'm telling you, I've needed David. How many times in your life have you needed David? And there he was, right on the scene. He's come through every time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless his name for the times I've needed him. And he's been right there all the time. Saul's down there and there's a giant standing there. Nobody's wanting to go fight. Saul's hiding. The men are hiding. Here comes a ruddy little teenage boy, rolls up on a chariot, hands the reins to a keeper, walks off and says, "Hey, how's it going?" And they begin to tell him. And David said, whoa, wait a minute. What y'all so nervous about? Y'all don't know whose side we're on. Y'all letting him cuss God? What are y'all letting him say? What are you going to do to the man? Just give me, I'll go. Brother Earwood, you know what God's ready, you know what my David's ready to do at any moment. He's ready to go for me. He don't want me to go for myself. Amen. He don't want me to go for me. He wants to go for me. And at a moment's notice, he'll put the reins aside. And I'm glad he can help you while he's helping me. But I'm telling you, I feel like I'm his only child. I feel like I'm the only one he cares about. And he steps into my battle and he slays the giant every time if I let him. You read the text, I ain't got time, but you read it. Chapter 18, or chapter 17, you back up. Saul needed him immediately. They were doomed. No man had the courage, no man had the heart. And I'm not saying I would have. I'm going to tell you, my heart sunk down deep into here. What am I going to tell a 17-year-old girl? How in the world am I going to find the words? What am I going to say? I'm telling you, friend, when I don't know, he knows. And when I can't, he can. And when I won't, he will. I'm not saying I'd have been any better, but he needed him immediately. And there he was. Right on time. Right on time. The chariot pulled up. The chariot pulled up right on time. He not only needed him immediately, but you'll find if you keep searching, he needed him to do the impossibility. The impossibility. Maybe somebody's sitting here today and it's impossible in your eyes. You can't see a way. You don't feel like anybody else cares. I'm telling you, David cares. I'm telling you, it's in David to fight. It's in David to do it. David wants to do it. What do you think that crowd thought? When David, the ruddy teenager, come walking off the battlefield. You seeing this? You looking at what I'm looking at? But ain't that the way, Brother Bobby? Ain't that the way God does it, Brother Qualls? He does it in such a way that when he picks the head of your giant up, we're all standing there with our mouth gaped open going, oh my God, did you see what he just did? He needed him immediately. He needed him to do the impossibility. He needed him inevitably. It's unavoidable in your life. You are somewhere going to inevitably need David. And the only thing I can say to you is this. It'd be a real good thing to have not forgot about him right before you're really going to need him. I don't have time to labor it. Listen to me fast. Saul needed David. The next step in Saul's life, here's what I know. I can't wrap my mind. He's mad at David. He wouldn't let him go. He wouldn't let him go home. David and Jonathan make a covenant together in verse chapter 18. But the Bible said in verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. You better be careful. Because when David doesn't do it your way, we have a tendency for some reason or another to get our mouth out of joint with David. Saul, David didn't do it exactly Saul's way. And he got mad at him. The Bible said he was wroth. He was full of anger. And it's amazing to me, Brother Frazier, how many people I've dealt with in the years that I've pastored, that I've seen them shout and cry and get in the altar and sing in the choir and testify and blink their eyes and turn around. And the next thing you knew, they almost curse God and they are mad at God because God did something that wasn't exactly the way they wanted him to do it. But he did it in a way that he got the praise for it. Next thing I see, not only was Saul mad at David, but Saul became afraid of David. The Bible said in verse number 12, and Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. I've seen saved people live in fear, not faith, but live in fear of what God might do. I say this to you, God didn't save you to live in fear. He saved you to live in victory. And here we find Saul is afraid of the man who a couple of pages before you lick your thumb and flip the page and there's David playing and the evil spirits departed and Saul's in love with him. Now he's mad at him. And he's afraid of him. This is where I wanted to get. Well, this ain't, but let me just mention this. I'll go to the last point. I'm done. You'll notice if you keep reading, he not only was afraid of David, but he warred against David. And you listen to me, friend. You may fight against a lot of people in this world, but you're picking a wrong battle when you go to war against God. You say, well, preacher, I would never test the Lord. I'd never go, oh, you wouldn't? Do you know you're bought with a price and that you're not your own? And every time you shake your fist in the face of God saying, I'm going to live my own life, I'm going to do my own thing, nobody's going to tell me that preacher and my parents and nobody, you are going to war with God. Amen. But you hear me? Listen, I'm almost done. He heard of David. He wanted David. He loved David. He forgets about David. He needed David. He was mad at David. He was afraid of David. He warred against David. But you hear me right here. This is the saddest part about the whole thing. 2 Samuel 1. Verse 4. And David said unto him, this man that come to tell him, this man who had escaped, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered that the people are fled from the battle and many of the people who are fallen and dead. Now watch this next statement. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. Let me tell you the last thing he did. He died without David. Now I'm not talking about losing your salvation. But you hear what I'm saying to you this afternoon. Saul dies and David's nowhere around. That servant in chapter 16 said, I know a son. I'm glad I know a son. And when he said, I know this son, and here's what he is, Saul said, go get him. I want him. And when Saul, when they got him there, he said, I love him. Oh, I love him. Praise God. That's who I've been looking for. I love him. And you blink your eyes, and Saul's life goes. Whoosh. And the last thing he does is he dies without David. He's nowhere to be found. The man he requested for his men to go get and bring him into the palace is now nowhere to be found when Saul's taking his dying breath. But I want you to understand something. Not only did Saul die without David, and that'd be bad enough, but Saul calls Jonathan to die without David. Brother Qualls, Jonathan loved David. Bible said he loved him as his own soul. They made a covenant together, and David never forgot about it, and David loved Jonathan. But Saul, let me just say this right here, and I don't have time to labor this. You come ask me later if you don't understand what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, it would have been better for Jonathan to have turned and left the palace and have fled with David and lived with David and fought with David and died with David as to have died with his daddy. He knew David was the next king. His loyalty no more belonged to his daddy. It belonged to David. But for whatever reason, Brother Dorsey, he stayed with his daddy, and his daddy caused him to die without David. Look up in here at me.
Yeah, come on now.
Look up in here. This ain't a game. Do you think the devil's finished with you just because you're sitting in an independent Baptist meeting? You think the devil's finished with you just because you got a King James Bible? Just because you go to church? You think the devil's finished with you just because you claim to be born again and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I'm telling you, friend, your battle's just getting started. He knows he cannot take you to hell anymore, but he sure plans on ruining your life so that you have no influence on anybody else for the glory of God. And the reverse side of that is you may never win anybody to Christ, but you'll have a huge influence on many dying without God splitting hell wide open. I don't know if anybody in this world outside of David's mom and daddy loved David more than Jonathan, and he died without him. Because he listened to somebody else who was mad at David. He died without the presence of David to give him comfort. He died without the power of David to give him courage. He died without the praise of David to give him commendation. He died without the peace of David to give him consolation. He died in a field, and David was nowhere around to help him. I say this to you. David was the most refreshing person Saul ever knew. And he died without him. Nobody refreshed Saul like David refreshed him. How many times, Brother Tim, has he breathed on your life? How many times, Brother Stacy, time and time again, in the wee hours of the night, in the early hours of the morning, has God slipped by just to let you know? And some of you, those of you that were here 2 years ago, you understand what I'm saying. I can't tell you how many mornings I pulled up at the church before anybody ever got there. And I've got out of my truck discouraged, and I've got out of my truck defeated, and I've opened the door. And I know this ain't gonna, some of you be like, what's he talking about? But some of you'll know. But I can't tell you how many times, Brother John, I've got out of that truck and swing the door open, and a flock of geese will come flying over. They'll be honking at me and honking at me and honking at me to let me know, just go ahead and walk on. Just go ahead and walk on. I'm telling you, he died without the most refreshing person he ever knew. David was the most reliable person that Saul ever knew. And he died without him. It ought to dawn on him the first time he came in, I can rely on this man. But it really should have dawned on him when he walked out there on that battlefield and come off that battlefield with the head of a giant in his hand when nobody else wanted to go. He said, I can rely on this man. And then it really should have dawned on him when he was trying to kill him. And David went out and fulfilled every word that Saul had given him to do. He should have been able to say, I can rely on this man. And he died without him. David was not only the most refreshing person Saul ever knew, the most reliable person Saul ever knew, but he was the right person for Saul. But he died without him. He was the right person for Saul. And he died without him. I don't know who's right for you and who's wrong for you, but I know this. I know one that is. It's Jesus. He's right when everything else is wrong. But you do have the possibility of sitting here today and dying without him. Are you listening? He was the right person. He was the right person. Here Saul's laying in a field, fixing to close his eyes, taking his last breath. And he looks around. No comfort, no commendation, no courage. David's nowhere to be found. And all he had to do, Brother Beattie, was say the word. Remember when Jonathan went back up to the house, Brother Fraser, he said, let me just go talk to Daddy one more time. Let me just go see if I can talk some sense into it. Brother Dorsey, if Saul, even with everything that had been done, if Saul would at that time have just said, tell David I'm sorry. Tell him to come home. Tell him to, oh, are you listening? I'm telling you time and again I've failed him, and time and again I've seemed like I've turned my back on him. But thank God, Brother Chris, every time I've hit my knees and said, oh Lord, would you please let me come back home? Would you please let me make things right? Oh, I'm telling you time and again he's embraced me and he's took me back. I don't want to die without him. The old story of Saul and David. I hope you don't end up on the wrong side of that story. Preacher, I'm finished.